We used to get called twins if it's, if there's any solidarity.
No, we did, and he hated it. He absolutely hated it because we're 2 years apart, and like, oh, oh okay. Like being called a twin with your little
sister. It's changed over time. Now
yeah,
I wish
exactly.
Yeah, now I'm like, I wish we were twins. I'll take those 2 years. Being 2 years older is not fun, so I'm trying to tell people we're twins. So.
Welcome to our first Relatively Football interview. We're very excited to launch this side bit of the new podcast, which is all about siblings and football. And there's no better way to start that than with twins and two twins who have signed for the team we support, QPR. So with us, we have Afia and Ishi from QPR Women. Hi, guys.
Hi, it's Ishi. Hello, it's Sophia. We sound the same, so.
Yeah, and you are identical twins. You look a little bit different, but you are identical twins, which is exciting for everyone. Tell me when you signed for QPR, what was that like? How did it happen? Where had you been playing before, and kind of what was that process?
So kind of QPR has been on our radar for a while now, I'd have to say. It's always been a club that we've seen that have been doing well, especially like the women's side. We just came down to the sessions, got speaking to Steve. He's a really nice guy. The girls all seem really lovely. It's great team environment, and it just really attracted us really to want to sign there. So we can see they've got big ambitions this season and for the coming years, and that's something that we wanted to be a part of. So it just, yeah, they were ticking all the boxes for us really, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I think we want to grow with a club, and that's definitely something we could see with QPR. We're very like loyal when we play football, so we don't tend to try and move around. We like to stay with a club and grow, and like that's something we definitely saw with QPR and with all the ladies and the staff and the team and the environment. So it was great. Yeah.
And where were you playing before?
So we were at Watford previously, so we spent two seasons at Watford, and then prior to that we were at Portsmouth for a little bit, weren't we?
Yeah, and then before that we were
grassroots football. Yeah. So it's kind of Portsmouth was where we kind of started to step up in terms of leagues, because before it was just more of just a bit of fun playing football.
Hi, Theo here. Are you from Portsmouth?
No, so we're actually from Farnborough. So we're kind of in between London and Portsmouth. So for us, when we signed at Portsmouth, it wasn't too far. And then when we signed at Watford, it wasn't too far. And then QPR's on our doorstep, so that was just perfect.
Right. So you weren't necessarily, you didn't necessarily grow up Portsmouth fans or kind of grow up going to Portsmouth, or was that, or either way, going to kind of London, or you were sort of between?
It was more when we were playing more grassroots football, we had some friends that we played football with that were signed at Portsmouth at the time, and they said, you should come down, you're definitely good enough to be playing at that level. And for us, it was kind of the decision now or never. Do we really try and push ourselves and take it that step further and try step up leagues, or do we just carry on doing it for fun? And we went down and trialled at Portsmouth and a few other places, but Portsmouth just had a great setup and we really enjoyed it there. So we just decided to sign. So it was an hour drive down for seasons at Portsmouth and then an hour drive up to Watford. And now we're about 30 minutes away from QPR. So it's a lot easier in terms of travel-wise now.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, absolutely worked out well.
Our listeners of this podcast are a little bit of a mix of people who are maybe new to women's football and other people who know the game quite well. And obviously, QPR in the National League, which is the sort of third-tier regionalised bit of women's football. And most women who play at that level have full-time jobs, or if not all, have full-time jobs because it doesn't pay, so they need to balance it. So some of our listeners may not know that. So yeah, spoiler alert, you don't get paid to play at that level. So what do you guys do, as well as obviously playing and training? I think it's, well, maybe three days a week or so. What do you guys do as for work?
So for me, Afia speaking, I'm an accountant, training to be an accountant. So I've pretty much done that since I left college. So at the moment, I'm full time working, doing my accountancy, but also on the side, I have to do my studies in my own time and then football on top. So it's quite full on. There's never really a day I get to sit down and just do nothing.
Yeah. And then for me, I am a service coordinator for an audio visual company. So
we could use you for this podcast.
Yeah. So I have my own like client base that I look after, and yeah, it's a good environment. It's very like stressful, but it's good because it's customer service based. So you get a lot of satisfaction, you know, resolving things and stuff in audio visual. When things go wrong, I've just got like hours to get it fixed, otherwise all hell breaks loose. No. But a lot of companies rely on audio visual like a lot, so yeah, it's a good job, very demanding, but I do that obviously full-time, and then football on top as well.
Do you feel like, because football isn't, you know, always your 9-to-5, you're having to squeeze it in, do you feel like you have a really precious relationship with the game, because it's all about love, it's all about dedication, and that maybe like football will never get boring for you because you have to make time for it? Do you feel really lucky to be in that position, or do you feel like if you had the chance you would pack all the day job in and just play football all the time?
I think it's a tough one, because growing up there was no girls teams around. So when we started playing football at a young age, our dad took us to a boys football team. So for us, there was never kind of that, we didn't really have inspiration to play at a top level women's football. We just wanted to play football. It didn't matter if it was with girls or boys, because there was no really teams around that you could aspire to think, oh, they do that for a living like the men's do. So for us, it's always been for the passion for the game, regardless if that's women's football or if that's men's football. And I think our dad has had a massive influence on us playing. I think growing up, obviously, we don't get paid for playing. It's always been, rather than go to the gym, we'll go to training. Rather than a Sunday go out with our friends, we'll go and play football. It's always been, it's just been like drilled into us from a young age, and we've just never given it up. So we have been very disciplined to keep that up our whole life. You do see a lot of people that do give it up because there's not that much incentive in terms of money wise to play football in women's football. But for us, it's always just been a big passion, and we've always just really enjoyed the game.
I think hugely it's a nice release. Like, you go to work 9-to-5. Have your stressful day job, and when you get to football, you just want to work hard, play hard, enjoy yourself, and just let go of all that stress, all that everything you've had to deal with for that week or that day, and then you're just focusing on football. So it's a really nice release, I think.
So going, I guess, back a bit to the sort of early days of getting into football, you said your dad was a massive influence. Who was the first to really love the game? Of you, who was the first one who kind of, were you sort of pulling each other along saying, let's play football? Was it a mutual thing, or was one of you like, football is my thing and like, go away?
I have to say, saying the same things at the same time now as twins. You'll probably say the same. I think we've both been the same. And I know It sounds cliche because we're twins, but we've both been exactly the same in terms of, we both loved football as soon as we started. And if I'm having down day, she'll pick me up, or vice versa. But it's never really been one that's been more focused on football and the other one hasn't. We've both been kind of at the same level.
And I think as well, when our dad first took us down and we were the only girls, I don't know why, but we weren't even very nervous. We were like, yeah, you're right, lads, let's go. Like, and just started playing.
I love that.
You've got to be, though. You've got to be in that environment. You have to be like, come on, let's do it.
Yeah, and we were the only girls in the team, the only girls in the league. And that wasn't even kind of a thought. It was just like, we love this. Like, I think we're both quite physical players as well, like playing with boys. Like, I think consciously we probably felt like we had something to prove, but not even realizing
we had to
even do that. We just both kind of, it was never one or the other. We both just, it just clicked.
And we earned the respect from the boys quite quickly, I think, because the team we had joined, they hadn't been winning that many games at the time. So when we've turned up, they're thinking, oh, especially the other team, oh, girls playing. And we ended up winning the game for the boys. So yeah. I think after that, we earned a lot of respect from the boys. And they really enjoyed playing with us. So it was always kind of just, it kind of clicked straight away, first game. And it's just never stopped from there.
What do you think, kind of trying to think back to what you were like at that age, what do you think it was about football? Maybe watching it on the telly or just something really instinctual, kind of like spiritually connected to you, to like wanting to kick the ball or whatever. What do you think it was that really drew you in at such a young age? I take it you're probably about 10 or 8 when you started playing on that.
Yeah, I think we're probably about 8. I think we've always been quite outdoorsy children. So when we were younger, we didn't really sit in and watch TV or anything like that. We always outside playing Kirby, playing football, climbing trees, like
quite tomboy.
Yeah, we're quite tomboy, even though a lot of people look at us and think tomboy because we dress quite girly or whatever, but we love to get stuck into things. We're not scared to get stuck into things. And just as children, we always loved being outside. Like, our dad would take us on bike rides, and we used to play rugby, like, as children as well. We just used to get stuck into sports and just being outside, really. So I think football was, like, never fazed us. It never really come across, oh, it's a boys sport or anything like that. We were like, no, we can do it as well.
Do you feel like now, being grown up as women and like sharing experiences with your teammates at QPR or teammates at Portsmouth and Watford, do you feel like the lack of barriers that you had is common with other people your age, or do you think that was, it's kind of irregular to have your experience?
I'm not sure really. I think
a lot of people are age or older that have played kind of probably had the same experience as children, that there were probably not many girls around them that played football when they had that barrier where it was just playing with a boys team, or there wasn't many girls playing. But I think as you start to mix with younger players and stuff, you see other people have different kind of experiences. I remember I went down before COVID and all that kind of stuff, I went down to a girls team local to me to just go see them play. And I turned up to the field. It's a field that's like right by me. And I always remember playing football there, playing cup games there. And I turned up and the whole field was just full of girls playing football. And I was just in complete shock. I just could not believe it. I was like, when I was younger, it was all boys and me and Afia,
the only two in the whole league yeah. to play football, so, to then a whole field of girls
in our local community playing football, absolutely loving it. And it was just amazing to me. And I was just so happy how far that's come along and how girls now have so much more opportunity. So many more girls are playing football. It's not like you're the only one anymore. It's like becoming a lot more normal for girls to just grow up and play football, which is really nice to see.
And is it been quite nice to have someone that you can kind of go through the same struggles with, like having your sister there, and when something crap happens, you can kind of like go through it together a little bit? Or does it actually make it harder because you're experiencing things at the same time?
I think for us, we would always say it makes things easier. We've always been very close growing up. We speak with each other every single day, so it doesn't go a day without us talking. We think like a lot, so very like same kind of mindset with things. So I think if I'm having a down day, she's there to pick me up. If she's having a down day, I'm there to pick her up. So I think going through the whole experience together, I think we probably wouldn't have taken football as far as we had if we didn't have each other through that experience.
I think 100%, even like through school, I think anything we've ever done, we've just always done together. And
it'd be weird to do it.
Yeah, I can't imagine how people do it on their own.
turning up to trials, for example. Yeah. We've never had to turn up to a trial.
I know.
Alone. It's great.
That is actually, that is so good, because there is nothing worse than that proper fear. And I'm someone who, I would classify myself as quite a confident person, but when I'm like turning up to something and I don't know anyone, it scares me so much. So having that sort of safety blanket must be so nice.
Did a club ever just try and sign one of you?
No, we've never actually had that.
You come as a package.
We've just never luckily experienced that. And I think where we've literally played from 8 years old together, and we've never had a season off, never, touch wood, been injured or anything like that. So it's been great. We've literally just constantly played week in, week out together. So I think any club we go to, they can just naturally see how well we play together. So, and I think talent-wise, we're both on the same kind of level. It's not like...
And what positions do you play?
So, Afia speaking, I play as a defender, mainly as a fullback. And I play number nine, so up top, or either right wing, so more of an attacking player.
And do you have a bit of a kind of telepathic vibe on the pitch?
We do.
You do?
People might make this up and think it's not real. It is. I remember at the QPR training session, and we're playing like a match, and obviously we're trying to impress and whatnot. And I remember Fia come running up behind me, and I just know she's going to play the ball straight into my feet. She's going to overlap me. I'll play her back in. She's going to pop it back to me, and I'm going to shoot. And we've done exactly that, and I saw the coaches look like, okay. How did they just know that was going to happen? But it was just natural. I just know, without thinking or even looking, I know she's there and she knows where I am.
Do you think that makes you guys, like, I guess, more appealing as like a double act, because they, that comes with it? It's like that acute awareness of each other. Like, you can't sort of learn that or build it. It's, you know, genetic in a way. So
yeah, and I remember pre-season with Watford when we first signed for them, and I think we're playing Leicester City away, and I think I started on the bench, you started, started in the lineup or whatnot, and then I remember coming on, and then Afia set me up and I scored, and then we were just like so happy because she assisted my goal. And then I remember them saying that literally was a twin double act. Yeah, I think we definitely do have that without...
Really?
A lot of the time we don't even realise, but I think a lot of players, when you do sign a new team, obviously you've got to understand each other's strengths, weaknesses, how they like to be played.
And that takes time to build.
Whereas us, it just comes natural. And I think even playing against teams, a lot of the time, especially if I play right back and Ishii's been put on his right wing, people get really confused. Or if she's even on a striker, they think it's the same player, just playing two positions.
Yeah, and then 80 minutes in, they're like, oh, there's two of you.
Yeah, so I was going to say, there's some poor left back out there who's thinking, God, my man marking today is really hard.
Those twins.
You know, I feel like I'm marking two players out here, Gaffer. You know. I'd be interested to just quickly kind of think about like what your biggest influences are, football or otherwise, like whether or not it sounds, I really like the way you talked about not growing up necessarily, like watching football, or like you didn't, that wasn't why you got into the game. But were there any reasons now that you kind of like look to for inspiration? And it could be an athlete of any kind. It could be a family member, you know, it could be a footballer. Why you kind of play the game?
I think, for me, like what I like to see a lot now is that you can watch the women's football on TV. And I think rather than just have like a certain team or a certain player, I'm just really appreciative that we can now watch women's football on TV, regardless of what team it is. It's just really nice to be able to watch women's football and see how we play. So that's the kind of thing that I like to look to. But I think our biggest inspiration probably would be
family members, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think we've always had such a big but close family, and our family's always been so like loving and supportive. And I think definitely we've got two other sisters, an older sister and a younger sister, but I think they've gone through a lot of health problems and stuff. And when you go through things like that and see how people get through, like serious, real serious issues. I think for us, that's just been a huge inspiration because we're super lucky and we've seen loved ones go through real tough times and get through it and like be strong. And I think for us, that's just huge inspiration, like to have sisters that are survivors and, you know, close family members that just like push them through. Like, we've got it easy, really. So it's always, yeah, been amazing to have such a close and like loving, supportive family.
And probably our dad, I'd say he's been,
he number was the one fan.
Yeah, the one that he got us up every morning, every Sunday, even yeah. though we didn't want to play sometimes, or
in the freezing cold, in horrible
wherever fields. We were, he would take us to every training session, every match. And I think a lot of boys, girls out there will have the same parents that are like that. And I think we're just very thankful we've had such a supportive dad. And I think without him, we probably would have given it up because it is a lot of a commitment to do, especially when you're not doing it full time. So for us, probably our dad has been a massive inspiration.
It's so rewarding as well. Like, obviously when we were signed at Watford and stuff, and he would come down and watch us, and he like met Troy Deeney and like was like proper like involved with the club and stuff and would meet people, and just to see his face and to see how proud he was of us and how far we've come, it's just amazing. And it's just like, I'm so glad we've had him from the start, and then for him to see us like just progressing, you can just see how like proud he is. That like, Fia was like pictured on the Watford Stadium, so when we went and watched a game and
we got a picture with
she's like blown up on the side of the stadium, a huge picture.
Yeah, it's like Elton John is here, but you know, Afia Johnson, that's the real Watford legend.
Yeah, I'm here, guys. Yeah.
Exactly. And to see his face, it's like it's just amazing. Yeah,
yeah. Football's about family.
Well, you should shout out all the football mums and dads, because the game wouldn't survive. The game wouldn't survive without them driving people around, especially women and girls football, when there isn't such a like academy system where you get a nice bus. Like, you know, you need your parents to drive you around and take their time to support you, and that's what's really difficult. Well, this has been an amazing conversation, Theo. I don't know if there's any...
No, it's such a pleasure. I'm so excited. When you were talking about the kind of genetic, cerebral, telepathic one-twos, give and goes, I was just hoping that, you know, one day when the legend of the Johnsons, you know, it grows and grows and you're playing in the FAWSL, that they'll name a move after you, you know, like the Rabona or the Panenka. They'll be the sort of the Johnson, which will be the kind of telepathic 1-2 where the defender doesn't know who they're marking.
I look forward to
seeing, you know, the game evolve around you, and I look forward to your next goal being dedicated to your sisters and your dad as well. So yes, such a pleasure, and thank you so much for representing Queen's Park Rangers.
Thanks for having us, guys.
It means a lot to me and Flo.
Oh
yeah, we love it, and hopefully once football's no longer behind closed doors. Yeah. Fans can get down and watch, because what Steve's doing there at the club is great, and I'm sure the club are going to go places. So fingers crossed, we'll get back to fans fairly soon.
We're going to work hard, try progress this season, try go hit for that promotion, and hopefully fans will be able to come join soon, because I know there's so many people like rooting for the club, for Steve, for the ladies that have been there for a long time, for us. So it'll just be so nice for that moment when everyone's allowed back and actually
have that atmosphere.
Screaming Queen Park Rangers, you are!
Absolutely can't wait. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
See you later, guys. Thank you. Bye.